Press TV News, Iran says it has evidence Osama bin Laden died of illness some time ago. Israeli officials slam a former Mossad chief for his opposition to attacking Iran. In Yemen, regime forces use live rounds against protesters, killing at least 4 people. And in Tunisia, anti-government protesters take to the streets for a 4th day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the news here on Press TV.
Thank you so much for being with us. Top of the rundown this hour. Iran's intelligence minister says there are documents proving that al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden had already died of a disease. Haydar Moslahi dismissed the U.S. claim that it killed bin Laden in an operation in Pakistan. He says if Washington is really telling the truth, why did it refuse to show bin Laden's body? Last week, U.S. President Barack Obama announced that al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden was killed in a compound in Abbottabad in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province. But the U.S. intelligence announced shortly afterwards that his body was buried at sea for security reasons.
Well, that's while angry Pakistanis have taken to the streets of Islamabad to condemn the assassination of Osama bin Laden by U.S. special forces. Our correspondent reports.
These demonstrations were triggered by the U.S. forces raid deep inside Pakistan last Monday.
Violation of the country's sovereignty by the U.S. forces has provoked angry street protests.
The protest, organized by the Pakistan's main religious party, the Jamaat-e-Islami, not only condemned the U.S. but its collaborators.
President must resign. Chief of Army must be terminated, and Prime Minister must resign, and nation must unite to defeat such events.
It is rare in Pakistan that the right-wing parties take such a strong position against the powerful military. Many opposition parties have also demanded that the country's top leadership must step down over the bin Laden debacle.
As long as a government is considered a hired gun of the U.S., getting money every month, salaries to fight someone else's war, it completely diminishes its capability to fight terrorism. Pakistan really needs to change courses. It needs to have a credible government through free and fair elections, which is a sovereign government.
Anti-American sentiments are already running high in the country over the U.S. drone strikes in the tribal areas.
The best option with us is to immediately withdraw our support to the war on terror, so-called war on terrorism, and we should immediately delink ourselves from this war, and we should protect our sovereignty.
Facing pressure at home and abroad, the government says Prime Minister Yusuf Raza Gilani will speak in the parliament on Monday. USA! Kamran Yusuf, Press TV, Islamabad.
Israeli officials have criticized ex-Mossad chief Meir Dagan for calling a possible attack on Iran a stupid idea. The Minister of Military Affairs, Ehud Barak, said Dagan's statement was not correct and that he should not have shared his personal thoughts with everyone. Finance Minister Yuval Steinitz also said that Dagan should have kept the remarks to himself. He added that it was a shame that the former Mossad chief had made such an unnecessary statement. In his address to the Hebrew University on Friday, Dagan said attacking Iran would be a foolish idea without any advantage for Tel Aviv.
Well, in Yemen, at least 4 people have been killed in fresh crackdowns on anti-regime protesters. Security forces opened fire on teachers demonstrating against the regime in Taiz. 3 people were killed. In Hodeidah, pro-government thugs attacked protesters, killing 1 person and injuring 6 others. The protesters were calling for the ouster of President Ali Abdullah Saleh. The political crisis deepened in the country after Saleh refused to sign a deal proposed by the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council. Yemen's opposition has given Saleh 2 days to agree with the plan. The GCC plan proposes the formation of a national unity government and Saleh's resignation within 30 days. However, the anti-government protesters are angry with the deal because it gives Saleh immunity from prosecution.
Two pro-democracy campaigners in the UK are among 21 Bahrainis now facing terrorism charges in Bahrain. Press TV's Stephen McCall reports from London.
Bahraini state television announces that 21 anti-government activists are being put on trial for crimes including collaborating with terrorist groups and trying to overthrow the government. 14 people on the list are already in prison. Others are apparently being pursued by Interpol, a claim that they have not yet confirmed. Among those on the wanted list are human rights campaigner Abbas Al-Omran and opposition leader Saeed Shahabi. Neither is surprised at their inclusion in what they consider to be a show trial.
And I was not aware of any trial or any interrogation about a specific case. I know they have that they have been arresting many people, and especially the prominent figures in the revolution.
It is a propaganda. It is politically driven. The Bahrain would like to get away from what they involved and the crimes that have been done by the regime police.
This action comes as a group of Bahrainis travelled to the International Criminal Court in The Hague to serve an indictment against the Bahraini royal family for war crimes. The ICC has agreed to look at the case immediately and agreed that Bahrain has broken international law.
The call for anti-government campaigners and human rights activists in the UK to be arrested is being seen as an attempt by the Bahraini government to exert their force overseas. The reality is harsher for those in Bahrain who have been locked up and are now standing trial.
The Minister for Justice in Bahrain has reportedly said that under current martial law, all suspects would be treated fairly. But the Human Rights Watch organisation said that it had received credible reports that at least one of the defendants has been beaten. The country's human rights record makes it unlikely that they'll abide by international laws on the treatment of prisoners.
I think they have failed in convincing the world, in presenting a case to the world that they are right, or they were right, in crushing the people, in killing people under torture.
As for the UK dissidents on the wanted list, they don't believe that this trial will stop further uprisings.
All of these actions couldn't stop the people from demanding or come to the street for calling for the rights.
Steve McCall, Press TV, London.
Okay, thank you very much.
Iran says the foreign interference in Bahrain has further complicated the situation in the Persian Gulf Sheikhdom. Iranian Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Salehi made the comment in a meeting with Emirati Prime Minister Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid. The two officials met in Abu Dhabi. Salehi said the peaceful demands of the Bahraini people should be met peacefully. He emphasized that adopting prudent strategies like withdrawing foreign troops from Bahrain would help Bahrain overcome the crisis it's going through. On his part, the Emirati Premier said Tehran and Abu Dhabi have similar concerns. Salehi also met with his Emirati counterpart Sheikh Abdullah bin Zayed Al Nahyan. The two discuss ways to deepen political ties as well as increase economic and trade cooperation. They also discuss the latest developments in the region.
Iran's foreign minister says Iran and Egypt are determined to resume bilateral ties. Ali Akbar Salehi says the Iranian and Egyptian officials have already started talks over the issue. He described Iran and Egypt as two important regional countries and said Tehran-Cairo cooperation will benefit the whole region as well as the Muslim world. The Iranian foreign minister also said he will meet his Egyptian counterpart Nabil al-Arabi on the sidelines of the upcoming non-aligned movement foreign ministerial summit in Indonesia. Iran and Egypt cut off ties in 1980 after Cairo signed a peace deal with Israel.
Meanwhile, suspicion has been growing over NATO's role in Libya as fighting continues between revolutionaries and forces loyal to embattled ruler Muammar Gaddafi.
The battle over the besieged city of Misrata has made it into one of the bloodiest fighting during Libya's two-month-old conflict. While Gaddafi forces continue to pound the besieged city, NATO forces have so far failed to lift the siege on Misrata, or even prevent pro-Gaddafi aircraft from taking to the air in the UN-designated no-fly zone over the country. Speculations over NATO's role have further mounted after revolutionaries criticized the alliance for failing to stop a raid on oil storage containers near Misrata, despite being aware that Gaddafi's planes were preparing for a strike. Experts now believe that with US and British intelligence on the ground in Libya, NATO is prolonging the war for its own ends, with aims to divide the country into two parts. A day after the aerial attacks, the opposition has accused NATO of seeking to plunder the country's oil resources. It has also rejected any partitioning of the country. Thousands of NATO sorties in Libya, as well as the country's internal fighting, have led so far only to a nightmare scenario for Libyans, with conditions on the ground heralding a stalemated civil war in the offing.
Moving on now. In Tunisia, police have fired tear gas on hundreds of protesters gathered in the capital for a fourth day of anti-government rallies. Riot police also attacked the media covering the event. The demonstrators were demanding the resignation of the transitional government and calling for a new revolution as the clashes broke out. Sunday's protest comes one day after authorities imposed an overnight curfew in the capital and its surrounding areas. Tensions have been rising in Tunisia after warnings of a possible coup by loyalists of former President Zine El Abidine Ben Ali, who was overthrown following a popular uprising in January. Amina Al-Khatib, our correspondent in Tunisia, says more anti-government protests are expected there in the coming days.
So far, this has been the fourth day of protests in central Tunis. Many Tunisians have gathered in front of the municipal theater, chanting the interior ministry to be out because they don't believe in its power anymore. They don't believe the interim government can fulfill the demands of the revolution that were made on the 14th of January. And as usual, they managed to gather towards the Ministry of Interior, and they were halted by the police. Many Tunisians are expecting further protests to be carried on in the country. There are more protests expected. There are some expected tomorrow as well, and later on in the week, next week.
In Morocco, thousands of people have taken to the streets in Marrakesh to call for reforms. It was the second such protest in 2 days. The demonstrators demanded a new constitution and an end to corruption in their country. They also condemned last month's bomb attack that left 17 people dead in Marrakesh. On Saturday, hundreds held a similar rally in the city, calling on the ruling monarchy to make changes to its policies.
A reminder of the headlines now. Iran says it has evidence Osama bin Laden died of illness some time ago. Israeli officials slam a former Mossad chief for his opposition to attacking Iran. In Yemen, regime forces used live rounds against protesters, killing at least 4 people. And in Indonesia, anti-government protesters take to the streets for a fourth day.